Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit, distinct yet three in one. I believe there is forgiveness for everything we've done. That is why all the more I will serve Him. I believe the Son of God was crucified upon a tree, laid within a borrowed tomb, not far from Calvary. I believe He rose up from the dead, alive for all to see. That is why all the more I will serve Him. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I'll not be ashamed. With the world behind me and the cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. I believe you must be born again. John 3:16 is true. The old life can be washed away. Everything made new. I believe the love of God can somehow find its way to you. That is why all the more I will serve Him. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I'll not be ashamed. The world behind me and the cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. And I know when Satan and his minions come to torment me, when I invoke the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. I know to live and die, and the Bible is the blueprint that all men should live by. I believe I'm not alone with my faith in Jesus Christ. That is why all the more we will serve Him. Of God, I will.
good Friday morning, everybody. How you doing? This is CA on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. How's everybody doing today? TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. We got a great show lined up today. Today, we're going to be doing Billy Graham Fridays. That's right, Billy Graham Fridays. I got a great one coming up here in a while. We're going to go flashback 1990 on one of his crusades that's in Bristol's, England. It's called The IMs of Jesus. Stay tuned in a while. You'll be hearing that. I have no characters. No comedy characters are going to be coming in today. They'll be on our Saturday show. We'll do a combo with the Deacon and the Grinch. That's always a favorite, fan favorite. I want to remind you, before we get started on our show this morning, on our Billy Graham Fridays, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, as always, feel free. You can always email me, morningsbrewer@gmail.com, morningsbrewer@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, The Morning Brewer Christian Podcast. Click on that like button. Also, guys, we have what's called text a prayer. You can text a prayer to me when you go to my Facebook page, click on station information. The direct phone number's there. You can text me your prayers, and we will pray. There's all kinds of utilization ways. You can do that, or you can do it the old-fashioned way of emailing me, morningsbrewer@gmail.com. Morningsbrewer@gmail.com, okay? All right, on top of that, you can also Facebook message me if need be. Feel free. You can always be my friend on Facebook, C.A. Hall, and, you know, the more the merrier. We can get more prayer partners and more people that want to continue to endure what God has for us and getting into the Word. Okay, we're only going to do four texts of prayers. Then we're going to play a couple of songs. Then we're going to do the coffee song. We got to have that coffee song. And then we'll get ready for Billy Graham Friday. So let's start off with this one. Samantha in Colorado writes me, "Good morning, CA. I have been a follower on the Morning Brewer Christian Podcast Show for a little over 4 years from the get-go when you first started. I want to tell you, you're very creative with your Christian comedy. And on top of that, I want to tell you thank you for touching hearts out there." She shares a situation and a testimony I want to share with you about how her and her boyfriend had broke up. But she had heard me teach on, she said, I biblically teached on relationships. She said, when you taught on relationships and what it takes, when it takes three, which it does, it takes God, the woman, and the man. Correct, guys? Correct. It has to all the way through it all. And she said, when you talked about praying and talk about intercessory praying, she goes, me and him listened to your podcast on that day, not only once, but twice. And she said, God turned our relationship around. We grew, we got married, and we're living happily ever after. I want to thank you for Christ utilizing you on the Christian podcast, and I want to thank you for all you do. Samantha, let me take a little bit of time out this morning. I am rather touched over a cup of coffee this morning here at Faith Studio One in Central Downtown Fort Worth. God can take any situation, I mean, and I won't go into this in fine line details, I helped a situation where someone was getting ready to go get divorced, a husband and a wife, and they were married for a very long time. They were an elderly couple, and they happened to run into me at a Walmart optical, and he wanted to hear something with coffee. The coffee wound up being where God directed him, and it wound up being the coffee with the preaching or the biblical teaching that I was doing. And so they immediately listened, and the Holy Spirit interceded, which he does. He interceded, and he changed their heart, and they ended up staying together. And would you? I am so glad. See, sometimes if God really wants something to work, it's going to work. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But you went in with the attitude, both of y'all, to listen, and God moved during my podcast show. How rather touched I am. Thank you, Samantha, for sending that. Let's hear about your prayer request. She just wanted me to share that on the air. Samantha writes, pray that God will give me peace and help me to resist temptation and speak to me clearly. Absolutely. You know, let me just say this, Samantha, for you and probably your husband, we want to just pray that God here in just a second is going to give you the peace. Also, there's always going to be temptations. But if you stay the course and know that you are a child of the Almighty God, he's going to give you the clarity, the clearly when you speak to him, he's going to just give you the clear side of all this. Stay strong. I will tell you this, stay strong and stay faithful to God at all times. We're going to slip. We're only human. Nobody's perfect. I will tell you that. You can fall into sin by overeating or whatever. I'm not one to judge. That's only God. But regardless, he's a loving and forgiving God, because once you have him in your heart, your tapes are all erased, every single one of them. So just remember that. Let's pray for you right now, dear sister in Christ. Dear Jesus, we pray for Samantha in Colorado. God, I just pray that you give her peace and help her to resist any temptation and speak to her even more clearly through you, the Holy Spirit. We lift it up and give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Adam in Oklahoma writes me, good morning, CA. I need some urgent prayer. Okay. I need prayer for addiction to alcohol. Okay, that's not uncommon. I will share this, that on my dad's side, my grandfather, who I only met like about three times, was an alcoholic. I remember with my dad one time, we used to pick him up in the streets of downtown Fort Worth. And my dad didn't want me to see it. That was probably when I was like 10 years old. And my brother was like about 11, 12. I think Will was around 12. And my little brother was about, let's see. It put me at 10. They put Will about 8. And they put Jeff at about 6. So yeah, we remember. And dad didn't want us to see it. He actually dropped him off at a help center. But it's a very touchy issue, I know, in the Hall family, because it did run or does run on the side of our family with my grandfather. So my dad's very touchy about that. He reminds me, you know, I'm very blessed with the 80-year-old good godly dad that's got the words of wisdom of the Lord. And me and dad talk when we can, and he shares a lot of his thoughts. But it's very touchy, I know, from my dad. And it's very touchy for me because I do know people that have been addicted to alcohol. But I'm going to tell you, God is a God of change. God is a God that can change anything and move any mountains. And we're going to pray in Jesus' name for you, Adam, that God will move your mountain. So let's come together, united in prayer, and let's lift it up and give it to Jesus. What do you say? Dear Lord, we come to you united in prayer. God, I just pray right now that you be with Adam. God, I just pray that alcohol be just getting rid of. God, you know his whole situation. Write his new story. We know you're doing that right now. We know you are in his story. May he open up his heart and listen to you. As a body of believers, we lift it up and he be alcohol free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got another one in Oklahoma, Noelle. She writes me, CA, pray for my divorce to start and end quickly and smoothly. Noelle, first off, I just want to tell you, I'm really sorry that you're going through a divorce. It's not uncommon. Divorce ratio is up higher. Right now, statistically, this is true, okay? Guys, this is really true. One out of every three marriages now make it. So what's the key element before we pray? Before we pray for your prayer request, Noel, what is the key element? Well, where's God? From the time that you get to know somebody as friends into a friendship relationship, and from the time that you, if it's God's will, grows into a dating relationship, it's like stepping stones. Friendship relationship, dating relationship, you date for a good while, engagement, because you're getting closer to the next step, and then marriage. So think about this, friendship, dating, right? Friendship relationship, dating relationship, fiancé, and then the big one, marriage. It's like a four-step deal. Through it all, God has to be in every part of it. If you don't have Christ in it, it's not going to go anywhere. Hopefully in your situation, you tried all you could do, both of you, and hopefully, God willing, God was in it. If it wasn't, then this sometimes winds up being that way because the enemy comes in and seeks and destroys. And there's several different key factors of that, and I'm not trying to bash any of these networks, okay, guys? I'll just tell you. Facebook Messenger can. What else can? TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, okay? It's out there. And even beyond, one time I knew a guy that said he was married at one of my main jobs I worked at, and he told me he had 5 girlfriends, and he was still married. That's sad. And I've married people in the past, over 200, when you are equally yoked through Christ, you are held accountable. You, her, are held accountable. God puts man and woman on here on earth to enjoy life, correct? And on top of that, when you go back to the book of Genesis, which we all know, God did not want man to be alone, right? So he created Eve. But the problem is now, the way our culture is going, and it scares a lot of the women, the good godly women and the good godly men, is they get cold feet because they're scared that instantly they're going to get in a divorce. Do not let fear overtake you. I repeat, do not let fear overtake you. Even though you're going through this divorce, Noel, do not let that fear, I repeat again, overtake you. Let God intercede. Later in life, if it's God's will, go with the friendship relationship. Like I said, it's baby steps. Friendship relationship, dating relationship is the next stepping stone. And if it goes even stronger through Christ, the fiance that you're engaged in the future, and then remarried, it can happen. Better days are yet to come. But you just got to pray and wait upon the Lord and keep God in it all. Let Him guide you. Let Him guide you is the real I can really tell you. So I'm not going to ramble too on about it, but I'm going to pray right now. Dear Jesus, we come together united in prayer. God, I just want to pray for Noelle in Oklahoma. I pray for her divorce. I'm sad to hear about that. She wants it to start and end quickly. God, we just lift it up and give it all to you. Please be with her. Let it go smoothly in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ernie in Idaho writes to me, CA, will you pray that God will give me success in school? Absolutely. Open your heart, study, and let God do the rest for you. Let God work in your life, and He will. So let's pray for you right now. Dear Jesus, we come united in prayer. We want to pray for Ernie. God, I just pray right now that you would be with him and you would give him the success he needs in school. We lift it up and give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's play a couple of songs. Then we're going to do the coffee song and then Dr. Billy Graham and the IMs. Here we go, my friend Jason Crabb from the Crabb family. We all knew him back then on that. Just As I Am. Let's pump it up this morning. Cup of coffee. Good morning on a Friday.
Stop love. the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in. Onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win.
Okay, before we start off on Billy Graham and the IMs back in 1990, How about a good cup of coffee? Let's kick it off on a Friday. Good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning.
That sweet aroma. I'm bold and beautiful. I can hardly wait to taste. Early morning. Something wonderful is about to make my day.
Oh, yes, a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning. And you know what? Even if you don't drink coffee, guess what? What, CA? Well, you're getting your caffeine when you're reading your scripture and you're reading your Bible devotion because God is filling your cup up. You know what I mean? There you go. All right, guys, we're going to go back. Let's do it. It's Billy Graham Fridays here only and exclusively on my radio and podcast show, The Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Good morning, CA, from Faith Studio 1 Central, downtown Fort Worth. It's kind of a warm day. It's going to be one more warm day before the cool front comes in. And it's 61 degrees. 61 degrees here at the studio. So let's kick it off right now. Billy Graham, the I Am's of Jesus. Be blessed. 1990. Here we go.
I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of Exodus, just for two verses of Scripture. The third chapter and the 13th and 14th verses. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. What a strange answer. What a strange name. I am. That means he had no beginning. He had no end. He is the eternal, self-existent one. He is the one that created us. He is the one with whom we all have to do. And Jesus said in John 8:56, Before Abraham was, I am. I would like to speak this afternoon on the I Am's of Jesus in this passage of John. First he said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. Now, he'd been feeding 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. And we often wonder, with all the starvation in the world, why Jesus didn't feed all the hungry people. He had the power. Satan whispered to him and said, why don't you turn these stones into bread? You could do it. You have the power. You could feed the world. But Jesus was not going to do it at the suggestion of the devil. And he wasn't going to do it because he had something more important to do. He was on his way to the cross because he saw that man had even a deeper spiritual need than just bread at that particular moment. One of the great novelists of our time has said, I've never been hungry, but I'm so hungry. Quoted in one of our papers yesterday. And a psychiatrist in Honolulu said that more people die of loneliness, guilt, depression, tension, insecurity, and heart hunger than die of physical starvation. But bread in the scriptures is the symbol of spiritual life. Man has an inborn hunger for God. Every person here hungers for God, whether you know it or not. You're thirsty for God, you're hungry for God, and you're searching all your life. And then the second thing he said, I'm the light of the world in John 8:12. It was the end of the day. A woman that had been taken in adultery had been dragged before him by the Pharisees. And said, this woman was taken in adultery. The law says, stone her. What do you say? And Jesus gave a remarkable answer. It says he wrote on the ground, the only sermon Jesus ever wrote. We don't have a copy of it. We don't know what it was. I think it was the Ten Commandments. And these Pharisees looked over his shoulders. And then Jesus looked at them and said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they walked away one by one. And not a one of us in this audience today can cast a stone, because we're all guilty. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of God's glory and God's plan for us. We're sinners, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, he was probably referring to prophecies made about the Messiah that was yet to come, because in Isaiah it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath light shined. Think of the confusion in the world at the moment, the chaos. And in the midst of all this confusion and in the midst of all this chaotic mess that the world is in, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. As you stumble along in darkness, I will lead you. I will guide you out. Do there come times in your life when you don't know which way to go? You're not certain what decision to make? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have Jesus there whispering in your ear and telling you what you should do, whispering out of his word? Because there's hardly an experience that you have that doesn't have a parallel in the Bible that would guide you and lead you in the decision that you ought to make. Many of us today don't know what is right or what is wrong anymore. And the scripture says in 2 Corinthians, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, he's the god of this world, hath blinded, think of it now, blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you don't believe, your mind is blinded towards spiritual things. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, sin has affected your mind. There's a lot to say in the Bible about the mind. You must come to Christ with your mind. You must surrender your mind to him. And that's the reason the university professor that comes to Christ must come like a little child. Yes, he's the light of the world. And then a third time Jesus said, I am that I am. He said, I am the door. Now, the kingdom of God has an entrance, one entrance. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And he said, if you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Now, Jesus would have been familiar with doors because he, as a carpenter, had made many doors, I suppose. And while a house may have many doors, the kingdom of God only has one, and that's the cross of Christ. And it's a narrow door. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the only door into the kingdom of God. And sometimes, somewhere, if you get into the kingdom of God, you've got to come through that one door. It's a narrow gate, a narrow entrance. The road that you're going to travel is narrow. And there's another road that you're on now, a broad road. And that broad road, the Bible says, leads to destruction. Now, the broad road is going this way. Millions of people are on it. And it looks like they're having a wonderful time, all the sex and the drugs and all the other things and the drink. And coming up the middle of that broad road is the narrow road. The narrow road is not going off somewhere else. It's going up the middle of the broad road. That's the reason it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to follow Christ. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy to follow Christ. It's not. His demands are very high. That's the reason the rich young ruler had to turn away grieved. He couldn't meet the demands of Jesus. And many of you may feel that you just cannot meet the moral demands of Christ. It's too tough to be a Christian. Jesus said, I'm the door. Come through the door. He's standing at the entrance saying, come, come, come through this door. It's the only door to the kingdom of God. You say, isn't that narrow? It certainly is narrow. Because there's an exclusiveness to the gospel that we cannot give up. Jesus made it exclusive. He said, you either come this way or you don't come. And we don't like anybody to tell us that. That's the reason we rebel about it. But Jesus said, if you're to come to the kingdom of God, you've got to come through me. I am the door. And if you try to climb up through some other way, he said, you'll be a thief and a robber, and you won't make it. Come my way. Come my way. And then, fourthly, he said, I am the vine. John 15:1, he said, I am the vine. He was in the upper room. It was the Last Supper, just before he was to go to the cross. And what wonderful words he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. And without me, ye can do nothing. Are you yearning for identity? To know who you are, where you came from, why you're here, what's the purpose of your life? Are you looking for a meaningful relationship? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. We try, but without him, we cannot do it. You see, we are a branch on the vine. And if we abide, he said, we can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. In other words, you can pray and have your prayers answered if you abide in him. He said, my joy will be yours. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. If you're abiding in him, he said, I am the vine, you're the branches. But sometimes there's a dead branch. Sometimes the branch has to be cut off because it's dead. We don't have his joy. We don't have his words abiding in us. We don't get answers to prayer. He said, my love will be yours. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. You would like to love that person. How many married people here today and your love has gone dead? You wouldn't admit it, of course, but it is. He can rekindle that love and give you a love that you never knew on your honeymoon. If you surrender to him, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He can give you power to love your wife and your husband and your children and your parents. He can give you enough love to lay down your life for them. He can give you power to forgive. And if we don't forgive our brother, we cannot be forgiven ourselves. And how many of us here today need to start right there in forgiving? Somebody we need to forgive. Maybe right in your own family to ease that tension and that problem. Yes, 7 times Jesus said, I am that I am. And one more I'm going to just take up. The 5th one, he said, I'm the good shepherd. John 10:11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now the sheep would have difficulty existing without a shepherd. They would fall prey to the wolves, and they would wander and become hopeless and lost without a shepherd. You see, when you come to Christ, you're wondering now, can I hold on? Can I stick it out? Or will I fall away? I don't have the strength to give up the things that are wrong in my life. I don't have the strength to change my way of living. And I know that's what Christ demands. You have a shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. He will guide you as you wander, because he says, I'm sending you forth as sheep among wolves. What could be worse or more dangerous than to have a sheep among wolves? And that's what a true believer is in the world in which we live. And the wolves will attack. Satan will have it all planned to trip you up. And man possesses many of the characteristics of the sheep. We tend to stray too. We tend to be short-sighted too. But the Bible says that our spiritual eyesight is faulty. It speaks of people who have eyes to see and do not see, and ears to hear, but they do not hear. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus likened us many times to sheep that need a shepherd, and Christ was the shepherd that laid down his life on the cross for us. And when he died on that cross, God took all of your sins and all of mine and laid upon Christ. The Middle Eastern shepherd lives with his sheep and gives them food and protection and security. Jesus said to those who follow him, lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the world. Do you know Christ? Would you like him to be your shepherd and guide you through all the problems of life? You young people, to help you pick out a mate that'll be permanent? To guide you in a decision you have to make about business or a job, or a decision that you have to make about something else? To guide you, to lead you, to give you strength to overcome the temptations that you're faced with right now, to give you the power to love somebody that you ought to be loving, to rekindle a love that's gone dead, to give you power to give up that habit that you know is wrong. You say, well, Billy, if I ever come into the kingdom of God like that, what will I have to do? 3 things. First, you must repent of sin. You say, well, what's repentance? I don't even understand it. The word repentance means to change. Change your mind about God, about Christ, about yourself, and about your own need. It also means to change your way of living so that you conform it to the will of God. But you say, I cannot. I know that I'm just too morally weak. I can't do it. Of course you can't do it. He helps you in the repenting. He helps you to change. He's the shepherd there to guide you, to lead you, to give you the strength. Then the 2nd thing, by faith you must receive him. Notice I said by faith. Intellectually you cannot understand it all. You don't have to understand anything except that you have a need and that Christ can meet that need. You don't have to understand anything except that you have sinned and you need that sin forgiven. And that you want sin forgiven and you want to go to heaven. That's all you have to understand. And then the third thing you must do is follow him and serve him. And that is not easy. But that's where the shepherd is. You see, the Holy Spirit is sent by Christ to live inside of you from today on, to help you to live the life you ought to live. You don't leave the park alone.
Amen. There we go. The I Am's of Jesus on Billy Graham's lesson for today. Now, before we close out, there's a song that I want to play. It's a combo song by Crystal Lewis. I want you to listen to the words. It's very touching. I want you to open your heart to Jesus right now. If you don't know him, now's the accepted time. Don't wait till the last minute. Don't say, hey, CA, you know what? I love the lesson with Billy Graham. I'm just going to wait till next week or a month from now. It may be too late by then. He may come back. We don't know. He don't want us to know. Or heaven forbid, you may get into an automobile accident or something suddenly happened to you and you should have known right then and there that you should accept him in your heart. I can't make you. I can't go in your soul to make you accept him. But I want you to listen to these words. It's a combo song, Just As I Am and I Surrender Hall. And maybe also you maybe want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to say, hey, you know what? CA's right on this. I need to, as Billy Graham says, change my heart, change my lifestyle. Love and focus on him, our creator, the one that's going to guide you, the one that's going to help you financially, the one that's going to get you through life, the one that's going to give you happiness. You want to be happy? Being happy first is having Christ in your life. If there's anything I can do, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Let's play it right now on a Friday. Crystal Lewis, focus on the song, Just As I Am, and I Surrender All.
Daily live. I surrender.
That pretty much sums it up. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender all. Amen. Amen. Hopefully you got blessed with that message like I have in these texts of prayers. Continue to pray for these people. We got unspoken prayer requests in addition to all that. So let's close out. So get ready to head out of here. So dear Jesus, I thank you so much for all you do. God, I just pray you be with us on a Friday. God, I just pray for a blessed day. Keep us all safe and healthy and strong. And the ones that don't know you, God, may through the message of Dr. Graham touch their hearts. And even beyond, Lord, there's people hurting, there's people confused, there's people going through trials and tribulations, which we call life, L-I-F-E. But we know one thing, that you're there all the way. And all of our faith and all of our hope and all of our trust is in you. For we love thee, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, I got to saddle up and leave Faith Studio 1 in central downtown Fort Worth at 61 degrees still here in the Metroplex. So hope you guys have a great Friday. Enjoy your day. Be blessed. We're only, what, let's see real quickly, 1 week and, nope, one, two. We're about 2 weeks and 2 days away from Christmas, the celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But keep in mind, before I close out, every day is a celebration of Christ. Everything that he's done, he is my everything. God is my everything, and he should be yours too. Anything I can do, you got all the resources, okay? Y'all have a blessed day. Be safe. Bye for now.